This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Stop shuffling through life like a zombie. You're bumming everybody out. Grab a CardoMax Energy Intensifier and wake up. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Matson, CardoMax's Energy Intensifier will help you power through your workouts and dead afternoons with vitamins B3, B6, B12, caffeine, and BCAAs. Use the promo code DB to get 30% off your next four orders at CardoMax.com. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max. Welcome to Drinking Bros. Fake news, everybody. It's another beautiful Thursday in the neighborhood here, isn't it, D'Anthony? That was a massive cloud of weed that escaped your mouth right there.
Well, that was in my lungs.
So you don't say. Is that how that works?
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
Nah, you never been accused of one.
Don Lemon is, though.
Yeah, he is. Is it Lemon or Lemon? We've always had this debate on the show.
You don't want me to fucking continue on this because we're going to get banned. For sure.
I like to see the people are going scorched earth on news people now, and that's great. It's great. Talked about it with Nicki Minaj this morning. Lemon is clearly trying to back up Joy Reid, in my opinion, with that statement that he made. But
Joy Reid.
Who knows?
What a fucking clown.
Jesus Christ.
It's like, it's getting weird, because here's some of the things you're seeing. You're seeing a bunch of people who you thought were relatively left associate themselves more and more with the right. Like Rogan and the middle part of his podcast career got a lot of heat from the right for taking nuanced positions on Obama stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would say, well, I mean, it's not. Yeah, this doesn't look great, but here's some other like extenuating circumstances. People are like, well, fuck Rogan, man. And he would talk about gun stuff, and people are like, fucking, like just, you know, all that shit. And the same thing with Russell Brand. People used to think he was like a crazy lefty hippie.
Yeah.
And now these people more and more are associating with what you would say the conservative side of the argument, but really it's about liberty. That's what these people are arguing for. And one side is coming after it more than the other. I don't remember what my quote is, but it's something like, you should expect a rational person to seem conservative when liberals are out of control and liberal when conservatives are out of control, because it is a balance. Right? Jordan Peterson talks about this a lot. if there's a right and left wing, how does the bird fly if one of them goes away?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. So it's really, but the left side of the aisle. And it'll happen again when the right takes power here in a couple of years. You'll see it happen. But when the left side of the aisle right now, they're so invested in being the left and the left being correct that they'll support or defend anything that people on the left believe and support, you know, generally speaking. And up to and including authoritarianism. It's like when I was on Tim Pool's show the other day, we were kind of half joking around about how it's too bad Biden isn't Lieberman, because Lieberman actually looked like Emperor Palpatine. And you remember that quote when they did the vote of no confidence in the Senate in the Star Wars prequels, where this is how democracy dies, to thunderous applause or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's bad. Like when a large portion of the country is clapping when people are taking away your fucking rights, that's bad.
Yeah, and look, this week alone, just with the Gavin Newsom thing. I know we talked about this with the guys from Pardon My American. By the way, if you haven't downloaded their podcast, do it. They're on our network now. We love those guys. Big fans of them. But, you know, with those guys in particular, you know, when we were talking about the Gavin Newsom thing, to me, looking at those numbers, that's what should really fucking scare everyone, where you just voted for a dude who just wants to take all your shit away. Those motherfuckers out there, dude, have been wearing masks and their businesses have closed down everything, and they just didn't care. They still voted for Gavin Newsom, although he literally just flaunted it in their face of like, hey, dude, I'm fucking rich and I don't care in front of you. And I'm just going to go to French Laundry and do all this thing. Right. And I know, look, all this shit is easily blown out of proportion with one photo here doing one thing there. But it was numerous things over time there. Nancy Pelosi in California, that's the rep. That's where she came out of. Getting the blowout while all the salons were closed and somebody outing her. Gavin Newsom having fucking dinners in a large gathering without the fucking mask. And it's everything else. Everything they're telling you to do, they're not doing themselves. So you voted for it and you want it. Therefore, I'm not sure about that 2022 prediction there of the right taking back over. I don't really know.
Well, it depends.
I'm at a point, me personally, where I'm wondering if people are just dumb enough now that they've chosen their side and they're not going back. None of this is going to sway them. It is rare when somebody like Nicki Minaj or somebody else speaks out against right. something that would be a divisive tool on the right or the left. You don't see that often. And then you certainly don't see her going after or somebody like that, the of that power, going after the media.
It's Russell Brand has been doing it for a while now. For about the last year, he's been lighting the media on fire.
He has. But to that point, he's pretty much blacklisted in Hollywood. Like, he's not going to get any fucking jobs.
He doesn't need any.
Exactly. And so you need to get to a point like a Nicki Minaj or a Russell Brand where you do not need Hollywood. You do not need the media. You are already independently rich and everything else, that nothing else matters. So you're going to need more of those voices to speak up who are already rich enough that Hollywood or the media can't take anything away from you. Otherwise, you're kind of fucked. But I'm telling you, that fucking blowout victory there in California should scare the shit out of people, because that's how dumb people really are.
That's how dumb Californians are.
I hope. Look, I hope it's just California, and I hope it's just Oregon or Washington. As we talked about with the Pardon My American guys, with everything that's going on with Antifa and fucking Portland and all that other shit, like, this is day in and day out. The media isn't covering it. But it's still happening every single day. But if you're that dumb that you won't get rid of your elected officials who are allowing this to go on, is there any hope left for that? I don't know.
Well, it's like you can't judge the pulse of America based on what happens in California.
You can't. But one would think, I mean, even again with Schwarzenegger, like, that was a recall where he was a Republican and everything else, and they did it. They clearly hated Gray Davis enough. Now, we weren't at a point in our country then where, you know, you had social media and people could come after you all day long. And CNN and Fox News wasn't as bad as it was now.
Right.
Because now it's, hey, dude, we have our talking points. This is who gets us ratings. And fuck off if you want us to talk about anything else. But now it's to the point where it's so awful. Most people are just worried about ending up a headline or a meme or losing their fucking job for any of this bullshit that I don't know, and therefore I'm real hesitant. 2 weeks ago I would have told you yes, all in 2022, Republicans take back the House and all that other stuff. I have no idea now. I really don't.
I mean, people are fucking have been deeply entrenched in their political positions for quite a while, and it's usually been a matter of motivating one side or the other to come out and vote. Mm-hmm. And typically it is, even when the right is motivated to vote, if the left is also motivated to vote, they still win, right? Because of gerrymandering and a number of other things. But I'll say this, people voting to keep Newsom in power is not in any way surprising to me. Typically, when there's some kind of emergency situation going on, whether it is war or a pandemic, people are very wary about changing leadership, even if the leadership is bad, right? It's the way it is. So Bush in 2004, that was the most, up until that point, that was the most vitriolic I've ever seen America ever in my lifetime up to that. Even with all the bullshit that fucking Newt Gingrich pulled in the 90s, even after all the hate on Bill Clinton in the late 90s,
right.
I still never saw anything more vitriolic than the presidential election in 2004. We all remember 2000 when Bush won 48% of the vote. About 0.5% less than Gore, right? So he was close. If the Republicans are within...
In 2000.
Yeah. If the Republicans are within a point, half a point to a point of the popular vote, they almost always win.
Right.
So, but that one ended kind of controversially, right, with a federal
the
judge...
Chads, dude.
A federal judge spiking the football once. They kept doing recount after recount. And then a recount ended with Bush in the lead, and the judge was like, nah, we're done.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yep.
That's not how that works. But anyways, in 2004, when it was much more vitriolic, Bush won 50.7% of the vote, right? So he gained 3%. And that's exactly what you just saw Gavin Newsom gain from his last election in 2018. Gained 3%. Should be no surprise. This is exactly how it works. When things are fucking in turmoil and you have either caustic or weak or ineffectual-looking challengers, and that's what these people were, let's be real. Caitlyn Jenner and Larry Elder, give me a fucking break. That just wasn't going to work for anybody.
You know, it's fun. Caitlyn Jenner obviously is ridiculous, but I don't know much about Larry Elder.
Neither does anybody else.
I've heard him speak and everything else, but me personally, if I was in California, because, you know, you and I had been there numerous times throughout this pandemic to shoot things, it was a fucking nightmare every single where we went.
It was a nightmare before the pandemic because for the last 5 years or so because of all the homelessness and shit.
Right. But during the pandemic with the mask and everything else, I mean, just trying to go places, a lot of places were closed, everything was shut down, businesses that we used to go to, like everything was done. And I have very close to best friends that I would call in this life that still live there who were running businesses during all of this that were forced to shut down. And when this election came around for Newsom, I saw on their Instagram that they were voting for Newsom and still, we gotta root for this guy. We gotta rally around this guy. And I was like, it's the same guy that shut down all your businesses.
It's weird. People feel like,
and they almost went bankrupt. Like friends of mine that almost were just teetering right there where it was just like, man, two more months of that and they probably would have been out, but they still voted for them. And I'm like, why? I just would have voted for anybody else who was on the other side.
People don't do that though. People don't vote for in major federal elections. They will vote against someone for sure. But in midterms and in special elections, they never vote against somebody else because the people who vote against somebody else don't show up to vote at all. Typically, we saw the same thing when I worked that campaign for the 2012 recall in Wisconsin. So there's only been four recalls in the history of this country. For governor, right? There was one back and whenever the fuck. There was the Gray Davis one, the Scott Walker one, and now this one.
Yep. I think it was 2003 with Schwarzenegger in California because I was there.
The last two have failed. I think the first one failed as well, and the only one that's ever been successful was Gray Davis. and it took Mr. Fuck Your Freedom to win that one, oddly enough. But our exit polling showed that people voted against the recall, not for or against any particular candidate. They voted because I don't know why. It's weird that you can have an election and somebody has, let's say the incumbent is running for election, or re-election rather, and then you have a new challenger. That is, for all intents and purposes, absolutely no different than a recall election where somebody else is going to win. Now, the crowd gets diluted a little more because if it's 50% or more vote to recall, he's out. And it's whoever gets the most votes among the rest wins.
Right.
That's how that works. So there's a lot of moving pieces there. And I think people are uncomfortable making that decision. I honestly don't think he's going to win re-election in 2 years when he's up.
So it is a year. So a couple things about this, looking back at it now, obviously hindsight is 20/20 on this. Regarding the recall as itself, if he was out of there next year, I'm not in favor of spending $276 million to organize all that shit for a recall, whatever. If you did something as egregious as Cuomo did in New York, where you're fucking hiding dead bodies and shit like that, and groping people and everything else, by all means, just remove him. No need for a recall. You're good to go on that one. The Gavin Newsom stitch, wait 1 year versus spending all that money on a recall vote. That's my first thought on this. My second thought was I was there during the Schwarzenegger one, right? It was a joke, kind of, where, you know, they were calling him the Governator. Like, I would see people's signs in yards that said the Governator.
Yeah.
Obviously a play on the Terminator. And I didn't think in a million years that Arnold Schwarzenegger, even saying it out loud now, it seems fucking preposterous that he was the governor of California. And it's even weirder to say that he did a pretty good job. Like, he was there for a while. I think he was doing it for, Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, was he there for 8 years?
Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Believe
it was a while.
I think it was a, so when you get recalled, you don't get a full fresh term.
Right.
So I don't know if it was eight.
Look at, see how many, how long he stayed there. It felt like it was a while with
maybe
him.
Maybe six.
But either way, let's say.
But it's also California, right? They elected Ronald Reagan to be governor. Now, granted, that was a different time, but he had no political experience at all.
No.
Like, yeah. It is very uncommon for someone to run for governor that has had no political experience whatsoever.
No, usually, 8 years.
Eight years. That was right. Okay.
2011, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So with that, right? Somebody with no political experience who was a fucking mid action star, you know, like he was a terrible actor, but like he was hilarious. And like, dude, I loved all of his movies.
He may have been not known for his classical acting chops, but he was worldwide famous.
He was one of the
right. Before he even started acting, he was famous.
He might be the most famous action star of all time. Like, I mean, you're
probably.
He's got to be up there.
Him or Tom Cruise.
It's one of those two guys. Tom Cruise has swapped it up where Schwarzenegger, let's face it.
Tom Cruise is actually a good actor.
Yeah. But he did a good enough job as governor. Like, dude, during those years that I lived there, I couldn't really bitch about much because there wasn't any homelessness problems the way it is now and everything else. So, like, and then they came in and tried to clean up Hollywood. San Francisco was still fine at that point. San Diego's always been San Diego, to my knowledge, unless it's changed recently.
San Diego and Orange County pretty much stay outside of the... Yeah. I mean, every now and again, you see a little bit of bullshit down there, but both of those places are pretty much out of the loop.
But where it really deteriorated was right around 2014-ish for me, where I looked around and I was like, Jesus Christ, man, this is starting to get bad. Mm. And then it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. One would think you would change... whoever was in charge, be it the mayors or governors or whatever, but no, the people just keep voting for this guy. And I felt the same way in North Carolina. The last year we were there, when Trump was up for election, it was the entire ticket was Republican. That governor had shut down the state's businesses. All of our friends back in California, all their kids are still wearing masks at schools, mask indoors. Like, that's still going on in North Carolina. It was a Democratic guy. I forget his fucking name. I hated him. But either way, they went Republican all down the ticket. But that one guy was the one Democrat that they chose in North Carolina.
Roy Cooper.
I fucking hate Roy Cooper. But they chose him. And so you look at it and you're like, well, that's you are who you choose. So you chose him. This is clearly what you want. So have fun. I don't know what else to say with that. And the same way about California. So I don't know what's going to happen in these midterms.
I can tell you in the midterms, that's a whole different story because it's all over the country.
Right.
Right. I mean, right. I don't have a list in front of me of who's running for Congress.
State by state.
State by state. But the prevailing wisdom says that it's the House is probably going to flip. And I think once the House does flip in 2022, here's this little fucking prediction for me.
Mm-hmm.
So the House flips 2022, and Pelosi's no longer Speaker. And
because of age or because?
Because they're not the majority.
Gotcha.
Anymore. Then Newsom doesn't run, or this is a bold prediction, doesn't run for re-election for governor, and instead runs for Nancy Pelosi's Congress seat. That's what I think is going to happen, and she's going to retire.
That's a good one. That's a real good one, actually.
That makes a lot of sense for that, because he's from that area. He was the mayor of San Francisco before, so that's his hometown. It's not like he would be carpetbagging or whatever. I don't know if they even use that phrase anymore. But
it's a bigger position. You're right, and this makes perfect sense. And after looking at these recall numbers, why wouldn't you believe he would win that?
Yeah, he would win that. In San Francisco, he would win that by, he would win 70% of the vote. Yeah. 65-70% of the vote.
Well, wouldn't he, this is assuming he doesn't get primaried, or win he'd have to win the primary. He'd crush whatever Republican he faced.
For sure, but there's nobody. Look, the DNC is a very tightly run organization. If any Democrats showed up to try to challenge him in that area, they would fucking annihilate them. They would find some woman to accuse them of rape.
Yeah.
Probably, right? I mean, that's kind of how, that's their MO these days.
Yeah.
If they want Cuomo out of office but don't want it to be because he murdered all those old people, find somebody that says he was an Uncle Touchy.
Right.
Let's be real. He probably is just Italian. You know what I mean? Jesus fucking Christ, he's an old Italian man. I'm not defending any of the bullshit he did, but I'm sure a lot of the fucking stories that are being told are over-exaggerated. And I've said this since this bullshit first came up, that they were using this as a deflection because they didn't want to admit they were wrong in COVID.
Right.
That would destroy their whole fucking narrative moving forward. And their narrative, by the way, is propping up their ability to keep people at home, keep them out of work, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, my guess is that Pelosi's going to retire, and they'll announce that sometime probably summer next year.
Okay.
Right? So 2022, they'll announce it in the summer sometime, and she will openly endorse Gavin Newsom, who will then in turn endorse somebody for the governor of California. Because who gives a fuck about governor of California?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, that position has been one shitbag after another for a while now. Jerry Moonbeam came in for the second time in his life and fucked everything up, dude.
That's crazy.
California started to go to shit under this fucking retard.
Jerry Brown.
Yeah, Jerry Brown was a governor back in the 70s, too. Yeah. And he brought him back at the tail end of his career so he could fucking start projects. I mean, he was the mayor of Oakland, right?
Yeah.
Before he became governor again. And he was in charge of the Bay Bridge rehabilitation program. They built a new Bay Bridge between San Francisco and Oakland. Spent a fuck ton of money on Chinese steel, right?
Yep.
All the rivets started popping off. So they had to go in and fucking spend double the money to get like $15 more million taxpayer dollars to get American steel rivets to put in. I mean, it was a fucking shit show. They've had nothing but clowns there for years, since Reagan, to be honest. When's the last time California had a good governor? I mean, you could say it was Schwarzenegger to some degree, but he also tried to give permanent IDs to fucking illegal immigrants so they could drive cars and shit.
Oh,
you fucking kidding me?
Oh,
he did a lot of stupid shit.
Right, yeah.
Borrowed a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
Like, it's give me a break with this stuff. So that's what's going to happen. Next summer sometime, they're going to announce that Pelosi's stepping down, and there'll be some whole hubbub, and they'll do like a fucking victory tour while she will campaign for him and every other fucking politician they can fucking throw her out for to try to sway some of the wind back towards the left movement. And he will take over her congressional position, and then eventually we'll fucking move on to the Senate in California, and then eventually we'll run for president. That's my guess.
You know, it's funny you say that. There was an article I read.
Because you can't go from governor to president. Yeah, it never happens.
I think Reagan did, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Very rare.
Yeah, yeah.
People who have...
I think like three of the last six have been governors.
It's very rare. It's been
500.
Three of the last six.
Well, I mean, three of the last... We've had 46 presidents, so...
It's in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Bush,
Clinton were both governors.
And Reagan.
And Reagan.
In my lifetime, there's been three.
But they weren't, like, incumbents.
Carter wasn't.
Like, people that are incumbents that are running for position, usually it's not... It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Who's
like
before
an active
that?
Governor?
Yes.
Carter wasn't. Wow. Nixon wasn't, right?
And Senator... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Governor actually is common. It's Senator that's not common. Very rare that you get to the president from the Senate. But Congress and Governor are two positions where you normally... Because it's... The Senate isn't really an executive position like that. You know what I mean? You're not overseeing a community. You're more like a... It's not like that. But governor is like, they feel like governor to president is the most, I got that completely backwards. Governor to president is the most natural movement, right? But I don't think he's going to stay there. You have to find somebody with high, high profile to take over Pelosi. And Barbara Boxer said she should retire, or that Feinstein should retire as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So maybe he runs for Feinstein's seat. I don't know.
Probably. There was an article I read a couple months ago that said, it was an anonymous scoop thing on New York Post or whatever, that said one of the prominent older, people were going to retire this next summer. I assumed, because it was coming out of the Post, that it was Chuck Schumer, but because he's old as shit, too.
Yeah.
Feinstein or Pelosi would make total sense.
I don't think Schumer can leave yet. They don't have a replacement for him because the junior senator is Kirsten Gillibrand, and she's fucking weak.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's weak. Yeah. She every time she's tried to step up and do something, she's been slaughtered.
Well, she ran for president at one point, right?
She ran for
She was on the stage.
That last election cycle, yeah.
She was on the stage for one of those.
Todd Welch is saying that Feinstein will retire in office and Newsom will put himself in that spike. I don't think you could get away. Even in California, I don't think you'd get away with that. It is
hilarious,
but like, part of my mind rebels at the idea that he got even more votes that is Newsom this time than last time, because that doesn't make any sense. But there is historic precedent, like I said, with Bush. He was wildly unpopular, but they turned his unpopularity into an attack on all of Republicanism. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was very clever on Karl Rove's part. He's a very clever man. Not a good man, but a very clever one. It is weird, though, that I've spoken to James Klug, and the same thing happened to Elijah Schaefer and a number of other people. I've seen a lot of this stuff where people went to the polls and they had already voted, according to those people, and they had to cast provisional ballots.
Right.
That happened a lot to a lot of people. It just seems weird to me that that happened. And it also seems weird that every time there's any kind of instance of voter fraud, it's always going in one direction. That seems weird to me as well.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to pay more attention to that right now.
Andy Martin is saying California is ungovernable. I actually 100% agree with that.
I mean, you're a president. It's the sixth largest.
So many times. Yeah.
If it was a country, it'd be the sixth largest country in the world.
Yeah.
Or seventh now. I don't know. Sixth or seventh.
I 100% agree. Because there's too many factors there. Immigration coming in from the border. And then, you know, just the sheer amount of people in that state. Wildfires, earthquake, all that other shit. Like, dude, it feels like one disaster after another. It feels like you're always declaring for a national disaster every single week there. I agree. I either cut it in half or I just have it succeed at this point or secede from the union. Just be its own country.
Well, there's something called a convention of states where if 37 states, I think, get together and agree on something, mm-hmm. that's what happens. For example, an amendment to the Constitution.
Right.
It would be, maybe we just need to stop worrying about New York and California, Washington and Oregon, and find 37 states that are tired of people's bullshit and just have us a little vote and get them out of here.
It'd be great. Like, the
entire West Coast can go. We don't need, there's nothing that they have that we actually need. We can get all of our fruit and avocados and shit from Mexico.
And water directly. Comes from a different state than
their
California.
Water comes from Colorado. Yeah.
Pac-12 football. Pac-12 after dark. Come
no,
on.
No, dude. Get rid of the whole Trap 12. And I'm not just saying that because Oregon beat Ohio State. Congratulations. It's a good team. It's a good win, but usually they're terrible at that, and they're 1-9 against Ohio
State. I also think
throw that whole conference out the window.
We should make an amendment where if you move from one state to another, you don't get to vote in that new state for 5 years. I think that's probably a good idea. You can still vote in your old state. Your vote counts there, but not here.
Okay. That's interesting.
And it would be fine here in Texas as well, or especially because we don't have state income tax. So it's, you know, taxation without representation. You know what I mean?
I'd vote against Roy Cooper in North Carolina for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. That was my former state. Man, we just started off with a rant there. I wasn't even part of this. But the new Taliban government, that's a huge mess. D'Anthony?
So,
my God, man.
Dakota and I were... We talked about it on our show, American Party, then we talked about it on Fox a little bit, and people are like, no, you're fucking... My sources at the Pentagon say that's not true. Like, oh, did they?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
You're at the Pentagon, so the Pentagon's not telling on themselves. To the press. You fucking kidding me? Like, shut the fuck up. Anyways, we predicted the following. The narrative was this. The reason that Biden was so confident we would get Americans out, even though he fucked this up as badly as any military operation has ever been fucked up, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason he was so confident everybody was going to get out, and the reason he gave those lists of names over to the Taliban, which fucking Blinken has confirmed. He's like, yeah, I mean, we just gave we had people that we needed to get out, and there were checkpoints, so we just gave the names to the people who were running the checkpoints. That sounds a lot like some people did some things, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Like, the people at the checkpoint are the fucking Taliban, asshole. Jesus Christ. Anyway, so the reason that Biden was so confident, brazen, to say that we gave lists of names of Americans to the Taliban and that we were going to get all our people out, even though he didn't do anything to ensure that, is because he did do something to ensure it. He allowed the Taliban to make demands, which is, we're the Afghan government now. And as you know, the Afghan government is completely incapable of running itself without your money.
Right.
So now you're going to be paying us, bitch. It's like a fucking a numbers guy. I'm sorry, a protection dude in the mob. He's like, yeah, I know that the old guy's gone away now, but I'm the boss here now, and you pay me 20% of your revenue. Otherwise, something bad might happen. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
That's the Taliban. So now we predicted it would happen this past weekend, too. Saturday, 200 people, Americans, got airlifted out of there.
It was exactly like you guys said.
Sunday, even more.
Yeah.
And then Monday, Biden announces he's sending $64 million to the Afghan government The Taliban, bitch.
Yeah. That is the Afghan government.
God fucking damn it, man. I'm tired of this shit.
When you word it like that, like, it's just a deflection of, like, the Taliban is their new government. Just say you're sending 64 million to the Taliban. Why don't media outlets just say, hey, dude, this is your, you just sent $64 million to the Taliban. Now, my question is, what are they doing with it, and why are they shutting down all the banks there? Do you know that one?
All the banks in Afghanistan?
Yes.
I don't know, no.
I didn't know if it was to prevent the people from removing money for fleeing or whatever it was, but I had heard a report that they were shutting down all the banks in that country as well, and so the new government can get in there and figure out what's going to happen fiscally for that country. I'm not sure. The whole thing's a fucking shit show.
The public statement was that they feared a run on their. I mean, it's fucking. What's the name of the movie with Jimmy Stewart?
It's a Wonderful Life.
The one where he prevents a run on the bank.
It's a Wonderful Life.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. So he's begging people to keep their money in the bank, because if everybody takes their money out of the bank, banks don't just, if all of us had $10 million each in the bank down the street, mm-hmm. they don't have our whole $10 million down there in cash.
Right.
It's all over the place. Some of it is invested. That's why you get a return. If it's in a savings account, they're investing in low-yield investments, so you're getting a return on it. If you come in and start demanding all their money or all your money right now in cash, and they don't have it on them, then they have defaulted, right? And that bank goes out of business permanently. So that's why they're doing it, probably. I don't think there's necessarily anything sinister about that, but it is problematic when the banks are federalized like that, and then the organization in charge of the federal government is the fucking Taliban.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I wonder what their bank account looks like. Do they have debit cards?
I wonder how much of the $90 billion worth of equipment we left there they've already sold to the Russians and Chinese.
Oh, dude, come on.
That's what I want to know.
And I bet it was at bargain basement prices, too. We got our first, speaking of bargain basement prices.
Wait, no, we got more shit on this Taliban bullshit.
Oh, okay, so, fire away.
Here's some of the notable members of the interim government of Afghanistan. Prime Minister Mohammad Hassan Akhund is one of their most effective commanders and is currently facing UN sanctions and has been for some 10 years now.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrorist. Interior Minister, however you say his name, Haqqani, a terrorist from the FBI's most wanted list with a $5 million bounty on his head.
He's good.
And we just sent him $64 million.
He's fine. He's paying his own bounty, dude.
With 64 plus 5 is 69.
He'll be able to pay his own bounty 10 times now. So,
and their first deputy prime minister is Abdul Ghani Baradar, a man lovingly known as Baradar the Butcher, who orchestrated roadside bombings that killed hundreds of British troops. Also including the new government are four former Gitmo inmates, two of whom I believe were traded for Bo Bergdahl.
Oh, yeah.
Not a single woman, though, oddly enough.
Wow.
But they do say they're going to take a very, they're going to take a new, more nuanced approach to government, and they're really interested in climate change now.
And are they?
One of their leaders actually suggested that the reason they haven't been able to focus on climate change is because of this illegal invasion of their country.
Ah. Yeah. So they were probably going to be leading the charge globally.
You'd think so, yeah.
On climate change, because that when I think Taliban, I think climate change. I think I don't think freedom fighters.
I definitely don't think a culture that systematically rapes 12-year-old boys.
Yeah. And by the way, if you ever think that Dan is like joking about that, watch that new Dino. I know I've said it a thousand times. Watch it on Netflix, man. It is right in front of your face, and they will tell you. The government will tell you this. Our own government has sat there and told us this in this documentary. I think Spike Lee did it, maybe, or somebody else did. Who knows? But they tell you the whole fucking thing, man. It's crazy.
People in the military, especially leaders in special operations, have lost their careers for trying to report and interdict the rape of children in Afghanistan.
Yeah. And one of them is in this documentary where he says, look, we knew what was going on, but we were giving so much money to the Afghanistan police. As he also said, the Afghanistan police were doing it too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Who was here? It was Lopez. He was here, and he goes, hey, man, when we were over there, they tried to buy my buddy. And they were like, what? For $2,500, they tried to buy one of the buddies he was serving with over there. And he was like, that's not how this works, man.
Like buy him permanently or just rent?
No. They were trying to buy him permanently. And I said, was he a pretty little man? And he goes, yeah, he was about 19, kind of looked Filipino, you know, small guy. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, man. So, yeah, that shit goes on all the time.
That's where moral relativism will get you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, anybody that tells you that one culture is not better than another is clearly wrong about that. Actually, do you remember Milo and I had a debate about that, but it wasn't about the cultures being better. It was about his premises that Western culture is better because of Christianity. That's nonsense.
Right.
But that it is better, absolutely. I mean, you just make a list of what's good and what's bad in life and then start checking boxes and see where you land. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not a very fucking hard determination, man.
Me neither, but here we are. My God, dude. I mean, I'm just looking at the rest of this fucking shit and, you know, how bad does it have to be? I guess is what what's the video that's going to shock everybody enough that's going to come out of that country in the next 2 months? Because that's what I think it is. I think it's going to be some beheading or some rape or something fucked up that is caught on video that is released to the public that's going to outrage everybody.
The people who are going to be outraged are already.
They are, but I think the media will suppress it and it'll get out on like Twitter or something like that. I'll give it 2 months. That's what I'm going to say. Mm. Remember Nick when he was on the show, when he was back from Kabul, he was talking about that girl getting fucking murked on the hood of that car. Like it'll be something like that where it's caught on video and then boom, they'll be like, oh my God, this is terrible. Cause Pelosi was over there saying, look, they have a serious, we've sent a serious message to them talking about women's rights.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, I'm sure they're listening and yeah, I'm sure they care.
The message we send is we don't give a fuck about women's rights.
Yeah. Don't care.
I guess. I mean, she didn't say what the message was, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Sponsor-wise, first of all, we get GhostBed.com/drinking bros. There's probably none in Afghanistan. And I don't want to say that it would change their moods, maybe the Taliban. But if you had a good night's sleep on a ghost bed from GhostBed.com/drinking bros, you'd wake up a little happier, you know, maybe one less rape throughout the day. Who knows? Right now, they have a 40% off bundle package that was left over from the Labor Day sale. I think the IT guy there, he died. We're pretty positive. We don't have any confirmation of that, but it's still left up on the website, so take advantage of it. Just get the adjustable base, bundle it together with a mattress, and then anything else you want, and you're good to go. Otherwise, just use the promo code DRINKINBROS at checkout, and you get 30% off everything in the entire store. You want a mattress, you want pillows, sheets, whatever your little tiny heart can think of. 30% off with the promo code DRINKINBROS. As always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest if you have decent credits. And all of the deals that I just mentioned are applicable with that. And then you can walk out of there with like a fucking new bedroom set for $35-$38 a month. Congratulations. Go to GhostBed.com/drinkingbros today and take advantage of these deals. Next up, China is considering moving to Bagram Air Base. No shit. Now that Bagram Air Base has been abandoned by the U.S. forces, China is looking at sending their own troops to utilize the valuable real estate. It's like Austin. That's how valuable that real estate is. The Chinese military is currently conducting a study to test the feasibility of sending workers, soldiers, and other staff to the empty base in support of future infrastructure programs. The plan would not include fully taking over the base, air quote, wink, but instead just sending personnel and supplies at the invitation of the Taliban government in Kabul. The move is being considered in support of their Belt and Road Initiative, which is a global infrastructure investment strategy to invest in nearly 70 countries and international organizations. And that's just doing that from their own goodness of their heart.
Yeah, right? For sure.
There's no other reasons to do it. They want to help people, and that's nice. China just wants to help everyone, and I think all that's fine. In addition to expanding China's influence over the region, the occupation of Bagram would deal a devastating blow to the image of the U.S., further damaging America's reputation abroad. I feel like we've already taken that hit, D'Anthony. That's just me.
Yeah. I've got a question.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to just drop a couple of JDAMs on Bagram Air Base right now, who's going to have something to say about that? Is the Taliban going to invade America?
No.
So why not do it? Why are we waiting?
Oh, because we bow down to China, Dan. Because that's where we're at. China owns us.
According to Millie, China's not a fucking enemy.
Not at all. So why wouldn't you get together with China? Like, why doesn't Millie just call the head of their, you know, Department of Defense, whatever they call that position there?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
And then just say, hey, guys, we're thinking about getting together and bombing this airbase so that way these grimy fucks can't get out of their country. What do you think? Yes or no?
Be nice, huh?
I mean, look, didn't the last general, allegedly, according to Bob Woodward, call and say Trump was unstable and had to reassure him that he wasn't going to nuke their country? Believe he did. And then he defended that decision as well. So what the fuck? I think we all know what's going on, though. That's the fucked up thing. Like, whenever we hear these stories, it's not really that shocking anymore, is it?
No.
I mean, China owns us. We're kind of second here. And if they do something bad in Hollywood or in war or anything else, like, we can't do anything because we're buying all of our bullshit from them. Probably just bought a fucking keychain or something from them yesterday. I don't know. But therefore, we're never going to say anything. They're producing everything over there, and we're buying it. So
this is all the story of Wyatt Earp, who made his way through the valley into what, at the time, people would have considered relative wealth and comfort, and decided that he no longer wanted to participate in ensuring that the people around him were taken care of. And it was a huge mistake on his part. Read the actual story. Don't just watch Tombstone, because the fight at the OK Corral did not. I mean, there's a lot of weird shit in that movie that
was
made
identical
specifically for Hollywood. But the real story is that he wanted to be done with it. And if you're a fucking warrior, you're never done with it. That's the fucking point. And America is a country of warriors. And the reason we're a country of warriors is because we knew what it meant to have to fight for liberty. We were the first people to ever take the law and put it into the hands of the people. We're the first country to do that. We know what it took to do that. And we know from history what happens when strength wins and then comfort happens and then comfort turns into appeasement. We know what happens. It's happened a million goddamn times. So now we're doing it again, and we're going to get the people that care about fucking liberty as a principle outside of all this political nonsense and outside of nationality and all that stupid shit. The people that care about it are going to end up fighting for it again, one way or another. That is the story here.
Yeah, and look, one would argue, Dan, and I hate to say this, that they're building better warriors over there. I mean, have you seen those new programs they're implementing there about manliness and all that other shit in the school system and everything else? But here's the difference. They actually have the power to do it, right? So the textbooks are going to be exactly what the fucking president says. Or is he an emperor? What do they call him over there? Prime minister?
He's a cunt.
Whenever he is.
Yeah.
Premier. I'm just looking for a title.
I think he's a premier.
But when you're able to implement that in textbooks and create your own history for what you want, you're going to grow up with a certain ideology, and that's what they're fucking raising over there, whereas we're bickering about stupid shit like fucking critical race theory and things like
that.
Yeah,
but I mean, you could have said the same thing about Japan during World War II. They had people that were willing to fly planes into fucking bombers. Mm-hmm. Like, they were the first suicide bombers. They raised children from birth to be warriors and blah, blah, blah. Same thing with the fucking Spartans, those boy touchers that everybody likes to fucking romanticize now. It's that doesn't fucking matter. What matters is that when it comes time to fight, what is it that motivates people? It's fear of death, right? But not death in the physical sense, death of their liberty. That's what motivates people throughout all of human history to fight. And that's why leaders throughout history have had to, like Julius Caesar had to tell his 13th legion, like, hey, these people want to fucking take your rights away. You're going to let them do that shit? Like, we just won all this honor for Rome, and now these assholes want to tell us what to do. And by us, he meant me. He meant me, because Rome wanted him. He was getting too powerful and conducting military operations without their consent. So Pompey, fearing he was becoming too powerful, and all the fucking weak side in the Senate, the fucking Catonians in the Senate, wanted to get him back there and put him on trial, right? And he was like, are you going to let that happen to me? No, we're not going to let that happen. And everybody goes and fights, right?
No.
But he made the narrative such that they felt like they were fighting for their own liberty, right? Vicariously through his struggle, they were fighting for their liberty. And that's what all winners of battles have done. That's why we won World War II. We were severely outmatched in World War II. Severely so. The Germans and the Japanese, technologically speaking, and the way they trained their people at the time, were fucking far superior to us. And we won anyways, because will is what wins fucking fights. And will only comes from one place. It's from when you feel like somebody's taking everything from you. It's a dog backed into a corner. And the only way that actually motivates people, like, you'll get the random zealot in the Islamic community, but look at how their leaders stay at home while the fucking bombers go out and fight and suicide bomb themselves. You don't see Osama bin Laden clacking off a suicide vest, nor will you ever,
right?
A person like that. Ultimately, what it comes down to is that cause worth the fight? And the only way that you get past, once people fucking stop deluding themselves about stuff and it comes down to them and another fucking dude that they got to fight, the only way you get them to actually swing their fist is if they know intrinsically that fight is worth it. And people know that for China, it's not.
But looking at this, right? So they're investing in 70 countries right now. Are we? Why aren't we taking the same steps as they are?
Dude, Germany had taken over half of Europe before we even got involved in the fight. I don't care about that shit, frankly. I mean, we still have air superiority. Whether we'll use it or not is another thing.
And I don't think we will, and that's the fucking problem.
Maybe not.
Because I asked this question, a couple weeks ago, where I was like, why don't we just fucking nuke Afghanistan in the first place? Same way with Japan, and then it was kind of over after that, right? Why didn't we just do that with the fucking Middle East when this all started and then kind of moved on? I don't get it.
Well, it's because people live there.
Yeah, but I mean,
we're not murderers. I mean, the the problem with the Japanese was the reason. There's actually some really good there's a good documentary on this about how the Emperor of Japan reached out and said he was willing to surrender, but it was a conditional surrender. They would keep their military and blah blah blah. The Americans feared that was bullshit, that there would be a huge insurgency, and also they couldn't fight an insurgency with them and also hold back the Russians in Europe at the same time. So they dropped two bombs. Japan surrendered unconditionally. Their military evaporated, blah, 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 and here we are today, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why. I don't think you can do that in Afghanistan or Iraq. I don't think it would work.
Kyle Gray is saying we borrow money to fund other countries.
Yeah. We borrow.
Who do we borrow from?
From our future.
But China, right? Doesn't China own our debt or something?
Not much. Okay. No. I think it's like 4% of our debt is owned by China or something like that. Maybe it's more now. I don't know. But no, most of our debt is technically to ourselves, which is really way worse. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say you've got $1,000 in the bank and you've got $1,000 worth of bills at the end of the month and you borrow money from yourself. Like, well, I'm going to fucking take 500 of this and spend it on this because I need it right now and I'll make that other 500 up. What if you don't?
Right. No, you're 100% right. I don't know where that debt goes. That's always been my biggest curiosity.
It goes to inflation, my man. We print more money, and the money means less, not only here domestically, but it also means less internationally, which means we weaken our power overall, both domestically and in the foreign markets, and then we're fucked. That's what is a runaway fucking economy right there.
So when does that bubble burst for us then? Because that's where it feels like we're headed and no one can really...
I would say by 2030, probably. The dollar is fucking kaput. I mean, I don't know how... Unless
does it go to crypto or something?
No, I don't know. I just think the dollar will fucking tank in the next 10 years because I don't see how it stays up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either. And I know that our crypto dogs... I think we should just call you guys the crypto dogs back there.
Woof, woof.
The crypto dogs, dude, are happy every day for the last couple weeks at least. It's going up. It's going up on a Tuesday here.
Making new partnerships, you know, moving the world forward.
So, are we signing with a crypto person?
No, I mean, but all these projects that we're invested in are locking on with new businesses. So it's pretty nice.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, the Bay of El Salvador is using the Flexa network now.
That's what I heard, dude. Congratulations, Giorgio. Yeah. I know you're a big fan of that.
Of El Salvador, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And congratulations to Cardomax.com. If you're dragging through days, ditch the cheap coffee and sugar-packed energy drinks for a Navy SEAL-approved source of energy, Cardomax Energy Intensifier. Boom, I got it right here on my desk. Popping that in the drink all afternoon. Cardomax Energy Intensifier uses the least amount of ingredients as possible. There's absolutely no junk in here to give you the energy you need to optimize your workouts. I'm big on it for pre-workout as well, or whatever else you need a boost for work, dealing with kids, some ungodly hour of the morning, or I don't know, let's say it's your neighbors behind you who are fucking dicks, driving the long haul, whatever it is. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL and fellow drinking bro, Sean Mattson. You guys know Sean. Cardomax Energy Intensifier comes in an easy-to-mix liquid packet in two great flavors, blue raspberry, which I'm holding up here, and pink lemonade, B3, B6, B12 vitamins, caffeine, BCAAs. Tastes great, ingredients are healthy, and it's made by a veteran and drinking bro. That's why we love Cardomax.com. They're offering drinking bros an exclusive offer, 30% off your next four orders. Go to cardomax.com and use the promo code DB. That is CARDOMAX.com. Use the promo code DB and you will get 30% off your next four orders. It's cardomax.com, helping you achieve your max. Next up, D'Anthony, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas made a killing in the stock market. You don't say. You don't say. Robert Kaplan, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, made multiple million-dollar-plus stock trades in 2020, according to a financial disclosure form. According to the disclosure form, Kaplan had a total of 27 individual stock, fund, or alternative asset holdings, each valued at over $1 million. The stock holdings included Apple, Amazon, Boeing, Facebook, and Marathon Petroleum. The form also shows that Kaplan made some combination of sales or purchases of over $1 million in 22 individual company shares or investment funds. My God, man. So he's spreading it out.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I can name 22 individual companies. That's crazy. Again, these transactions were Apple, Alibaba, Amazon, General Electric, Chevron, along with the ones that I mentioned before. Kaplan formerly worked for Goldman Sachs Investment Bank. There you go. For over two decades, eventually becoming vice chairman before leaving the company in 2006. Richard Fisher, Kaplan's predecessor, also reported substantial assets and training in his own disclosures while serving as president of the Dallas Fed. A spokesman of the Dallas Fed said Kaplan's trading was reviewed and approved by the bank's general counsel. You don't say. You don't say.
Well, I mean, at least this is technically illegal because it's not illegal for Congress to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally people in Congress or Senate, even the president, there's no law that says they can't use the information they've had or use their position, kind of like Elon Musk does, to influence the market and then make money off of it, right?
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is, I suppose. I mean, it used to be the stock market was not a good bellwether for how the American economy was going, because only like the top 15% of earners in the country even invested in the stock market. And then came the 401k and the Roth IRA, right? Specifically those two, or not the Roth IRA, the IRA. Once these retirement accounts became a thing, and once these account managers figured out they could put these accounts in low yield, low risk over the course of 20 to 30 years, because it's like a mortgage. Like, you're not going to draw out of it unless it's an emergency until you retire. So they know they hang on to this capital for a long time. Until then, the stock market didn't really matter. So when stuff happened in the stock market, like the crash obviously affected shit before the Great Depression, because the entire thing collapsed. But if the stock market goes down a little bit or up a little bit, that really doesn't affect people's day-to-day lives until the last however many years since this stuff has existed. Now, people say, I don't give a fuck about the stock market. I mean, if you don't, if you have a retirement account, you damn well better.
Yeah.
Because that is a reflection of how your retirement account is going.
I care about the stock market.
You should.
Yeah.
Whether you're invested directly in it or not, if you have a retirement account, then you are directly invested in the stock market. So you should be paying attention to that shit.
Yeah. What's going to happen here? What's the end result with this guy?
Nothing.
Exactly right.
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly. Nothing's going to happen to this guy. The other ones got ousted, though, right? What happened with those? Who was it? The senator from Georgia or North Carolina? There was one in North Carolina, Dick Burr. What happened to Bob? How about look up Richard Burr in North Carolina?
What about Raymond Burr?
Oof.
From Chicago? Wasn't yeah. Where was that?
Wasn't Raymond Burr Columbo? No, it wasn't.
No,
Columbo.
It's Perry Mason.
Perry Mason. That's it. God damn it.
Where's Perry Mason?
I hate when I get old detectives wrong.
Oh, Raymond Burr was Canadian.
Was he really?
Disgusting.
That piece of shit.
You know who else is Canadian?
Trudeau?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, look that up, Bob. Was it what happened to Richard Burr? Did he end up going down on those charges or no?
On May 13th, the FBI served a search warrant for Burr at his Washington residence and seized his cell phone. He temporarily stepped down as chair of the Intelligence Committee January 19th, 2021. The Justice Department informed Burr that it would not pursue charges against him.
Of course not, Bob. Of course not. I didn't know what the end result of that was, but if you would have told me to bet on it before asking you, that's where all my money would have gone. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. Yeah, nothing's going to happen here.
By the way, the transactions, Apple. Big in China.
Oh, yeah, huge.
Alibaba Group Holdings is
China. Yeah.
Alibaba, for those of you who don't know, is the Amazon of China.
Of China, yeah.
And it's got, I think Amazon's got like 100.
India.
100, no.
No, Alibaba's in China.
I'm confused.
Alibaba does mean criminal, though, in Indian, in Afghan, in Iraqi, actually in a lot of fucking regions. So anyways, yeah.
The petroleum one's weird. Why that? Like, I'm looking at this now. Why the petroleum? What was the deal with the petroleum company?
Well, let's look and see where it is. That's in Ohio. It's a refining company. So it was either that one. The refineries are hard to get into financially because the other big one, I think is Tesoro, and that's the Koch brothers. Anyways, Amazon has like 100-some million active subscribers. Alibaba has like 880 or 890. Million.
Oh yeah, it's subscribers. Close, yeah.
It's way bigger, and it's not like bigger, the size of us versus China bigger. It's like multitudes bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. So, Jack Ma's the
was he's been missing.
Yeah, he's gone.
Or
right?
Is he back now?
I don't know. And that's the weird thing was he had said he'd spoke out against the Chinese government, and then all of a sudden he was gone. I don't know where he is. Is Jack Ma back now?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's a strange story.
Alibaba executive Joe Tsai has said that Jack Ma is laying low and focusing on hobbies.
He's laying low. He's laying 6 feet under is where he is.
Laying low, focusing on hobbies. That sounds like a fucking Chinese prison to me.
Right? Yeah. That is a real good way to dress up prison.
Yeah, that is as far as the hobbies go, that's probably rock breaking from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night. My God, dude. Jack Ma. That sucks, man. Little tiny Jack Ma. He was over here. When they did, when the IPO of Alibaba happened, he rang the bell at the stock exchange, and they rolled out the red carpet for him, and he seemed like a happy little man. I don't know how many rocks he's breaking right now, but damn it, man. I'm sorry, buddy. You know, that sucks.
What are you going to do? Sucks.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You got to protect yourself. I can tell you that. You got to protect yourself in this life. And what better place to protect yourself than expressvpn.com/drinkingbros? You bets. Protect your digital butthole. Will you? It's time. All right? It's time for that. We want you to protect yourself. If you've got anything online financially, if you got some weird passcodes anywhere else, all these fucking new apps that they're asking you to sign up for, oh, you gotta have the app for it. You gotta, we need your passcode and we also need your bank account and everything else. Get a fucking VPN behind the scenes to protect your shit, dude. Or even if you just wanna watch Netflix in other countries or different types of porn. That's the real story here. I feel like we've been limited on porn in this country now. You know? We don't have enough of it. I think people are pretty tense.
Yeah.
I think people are pretty goddamn tense about it. ExpressVPN.com will literally help you with all of this, which is great. And obviously, it's ExpressVPN.com/drinking bros on this one. It's like kind of it's like walking your dog in public without a leash. He might take off or he might come back. You don't know. Every time you connect to an encrypted network in hotels, cafes, airports, your online data is not secured. Any hacker with the same network can gain access and steal your personal data. It doesn't take too much technical knowledge to do it. And they can make up to $1,000 per person. We were talking about this earlier with that lady who shaved her head for $2,000. I mean, granted, she's probably got her own fucking shit going on, but she's saying her fucking phone was hacked. We've used this for, I don't know how many years at this point. Just it sits in the back of your computer, iPhone, laptops, iPads, anything you can imagine. It's just running in the back, dude. You just fire it up, you click one button, and you're good to go. It secures everything that you have. So secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/drinkingbros. That is expressvpn.com/drinkingbros. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/drinkingbros. Protect your digital butthole, everybody. It is definitely worth it. Next up, Fauci. Fauci's been caught in another lie, which shouldn't surprise anyone.
No.
I don't know what this fucking guy's story is.
Didn't somebody, some news organization just called him the sexiest man alive?
Oh, if he gets it on the cover of People this year.
I don't know who it was, but somebody did it.
I will burn a stack in front of this office.
The Guardian.
The Guardian UK?
Yeah.
Boy.
Well, I mean, that's
kidding.
That's England.
Yeah,
right.
Mean, who else is? I mean, I guess Cristiano Ronaldo is back in England.
He's
back there playing football now.
Yeah,
so
but he's Portuguese.
Somebody's accusing him of rape. He's going through a rape trial right now.
That doesn't mean he's not sexy. Quite the con. Wait, no.
I mean, Tommy Fury, right? He's English.
Tommy Fury, the
Tommy Fury.
Yeah, isn't he fighting somebody soon?
Jake Paul. He wants to fight Jake Paul.
Okay, that'd be cool,
man. If people, here's the thing, here's the fucked up thing. We joke about this. It would not shock me one bit if I woke up tomorrow morning and People Magazine was trending number one on Twitter, and that was it. We've named Dr. Fauci the sexiest man alive.
Because you know, fucking protecting people is sexy.
Yeah,
that would be the narrative, I suppose.
Oh God,
what a bunch of fucking losers.
900 pages of documents regarding U.S. funding of coronavirus research in Wuhan were recently obtained through the Freedom of Information Act filings. The documents detail the work of a U.S. health organization called EcoHealth Alliance that use federal money to fund bat coronavirus research at the laboratory in China.
Whoops.
Sorry, kids. Included in the documents were two previously unpublished grant proposals that were funded by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and updates relating to EcoHealth Alliance's research. In 2014 and 2019, the NIH grants to EcoHealth with subcontracts to Wuhan Institute of Virology were used to fund, my God, dude, is this real?
Yes, it's real.
Oh my God. They were used to fund gain of function research and potential pandemic pathogen enhancement as defined by federal policies. That's why we call this show fake news. A lot of these stories, I read this and I think this has got to be fake.
Mm-hmm.
Where did this come from? I'm going to fact check this one just to be, yeah, it's The Intercept. All right. That's a legit one. It's not like it's 8shit.com, which I'm also a fan of, but none of those stories are real. These stories just don't seem real, which is why we call this show fake news. Jesus Christ, man. Several critical details about the research in Wuhan were revealed, including the fact that experimental work regarding bat coronaviruses was being conducted on humanized mice. Talk about this. Sewing the heads on fucking mice is a new thing that I like.
Yeah.
At the Wuhan University Center for Animal Experiments and not the Wuhan Institute of Virology, as was previously assumed. Humanized mice are mice genetically engineered to display human receptors on cells, allowing them to be used to test whether a virus could infect humans, which is really fun.
No, it's It's mice with souls.
Yeah. That's what they are.
They have a soul. It's the 21 grams from Sean Penn, and they just inject it into the rat's butthole or something. Yeah. What a fucking idiot. Yeah, the documents state that the SARS-related coronavirus generated in a lab were capable of infecting the humanized mice. So Richard Ebright is one of the people that originally shared this stuff. He is a molecular biologist who has, from the beginning, been against the idea.
Rutgers, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's from
that.
Rutgers University.
But he is one of the first. He's one of the first scientists to come out and say this was not engineered to be a biological weapon. But he said there's a lot of fishy shit going on, and we should probably take a look at it. And then when the results came out from this FOIA thing, he was like, "Oh shit, that's not good."
Yeah.
Here's all the info. Alina Chan is another one pointed out that the documents show that EcoHealth Alliance knew exactly how risky experiments were and kept extensive records of researchers who had been bitten. So apparently this is what happened. Against federal law, Fauci authorized funding to go towards gain of function research, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which we all, I believe, know what it is now. If not, go look it up. Genetically modified mice to be able to receive the same virus as the humans did, then gave the fucking virus from the gain of function to the mice, and then allowed the mice to get close enough to human beings that they could fucking bite them. So all these fucking cases of COVID that were in late 2019 in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is why we originally thought it came from there in the first place, didn't come from some fucking wet market. No. They came from assholes getting bitten by mice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ. And by the way, the sexiest man alive is Matt Bomer from
Oh, Matt Bomer, yeah.
From what's the name of that show he was on back
gay
in the day?
He's gay, too. Yeah. So he's even sexier.
Yeah, yeah, that makes him way hotter than before.
Because that means he shaves, he's kempt.
It's either him or if you're into the rough guy, Jason Momoa, or if you're into the beefier dude, it's homeboy that played Henry Cavill that played Superman. It's one of those three guys, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Idris Elba if you're into black dudes.
Yeah, well, he was already
he's been alive, a couple times, I think. He is a very nice-looking man.
Yeah. The Hemsworths.
Yeah. They have their heads are too small for me.
When you're taking that much steroids and your bodies are that big, dude, your head's always gonna look small.
I call those people tiny heads, tiny heads.
Yeah.
They just look like there's something went wrong. Yeah, somebody was photoshopping him as a human being and didn't fucking make the head big enough. That's what happened. Although he's a beautiful man, don't get me wrong. It's his head's a little bit too small for me. I know that's being picky, but we're talking about the sexiest man alive here. It's fucking serious.
Yeah, it's really serious. With Fauci and this whole shit, none of this is surprising. The only thing that's surprising about Fauci is how many people still love this guy.
Oh yeah,
and they still tolerate his bullshit on a daily basis.
The media has to. I wonder though. I just wonder. All these people in the mainstream media, particularly on the left, Don Lemon and fucking and Anderson Cooper and those guys, obviously. Are they really this stupid, or are they in on it?
I've thought about this. Here's my theory. I think they're in on it, and here's why, right? I think Trump wanted to fire Fauci during this. The optics would have been bad during the virus if he would have fired Dr. Fauci because he was out in the public and everything else, and that would have been like Trump doesn't trust the science or whatever, even though he created, you know, Operation Warp Speed for the vaccines, whatever, right? And now I think that Biden can't get rid of him, because then all the shit that Trump has talked about him would confirm that. And
what he
you
can
don't
do
want
is
it
keep
to look
him on
like,
television, though.
Yes.
And all you have to do if you're Biden is the same thing that Trump did, which is pick somebody and make them the head of the task force, like he did with Pence.
Mm-hmm.
Although Pence is the worst person to do that with, because he's the most boring human being on earth.
But I argue that's what you want in a situation like that. No. So that way you can trot out horrific news in a boring monotone level.
You want somebody like
Jim McMahon?
No.
Ric Flair?
No. You want somebody who's a good PR person to do that. Mike Pence is not. Mike Pence is like, you know that scene in the last season of Game of Thrones where Jon Snow wouldn't lie to protect everybody? He's like, yeah, we'll fucking do whatever. He's like, no, I can't say that we're going to do that. And she goes, well, fuck you, we're going to war.
Right.
And everybody's like, dude, you could have just lied.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's Mike Pence. He's not going to lie just to fucking get something done. You need somebody that's going to lie through their goddamn teeth. And I don't mean that they're going to literally be dishonest. I mean somebody that's, if you're Biden and you're trying to protect your position there, you need somebody in that position that's going to deflect. Anyways, what he should do is put a task force person out there, somebody that can take all the heat, that isn't in an actual position of authority, because head of or task force person, that is a made-up title and can go away anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. But look, here we are. I think Fauci stays because of that. And if he were to get fired, then that would be admitting that Trump was right.
He should be fired out of a cannon.
I agree.
Directly into the sun.
I agree. But what I did notice is he's not showing up at White House events and press briefings. It's more or less like weird talk shows, like The Fucking View and shit like that.
He's been on The View a lot, and he's been on Stephanopoulos' show. What is that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The ABC, yeah.
Is it Good Morning America? Is that what it is?
I don't know what any of these shows over there. I know he's on Sundays. I know Stephanopoulos is on the Sunday show. I don't mind Stephanopoulos. Sometimes he'll call it like he sees it.
He's full of shit.
Yeah, but sometimes he will.
Every now and again, he gets...
It's horseshoes with these fucking guys. Whoever's the closest to maybe a kernel of truth, all right.
Some of these dudes are just like your buddy that isn't good at keeping secrets. He accidentally leaks something every now and again, and people are like, what?
Yeah.
Like Jen Psaki with the fucking, she actually said plandemic.
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious, dude? Wow. Why let that slip? Of all the things you could have said, that's the worst.
Yeah.
You stupid bitch.
Now, I mispronounce shit all the time on this show. That's why I don't work in the White House. I'm not the one giving fucking speeches.
Is it racist that it's the White House?
I think it should be the Caucasian House.
I think we should change it to the Inclusion House.
No, the House of Inclusion?
Yeah, and just make it all fucking rainbow with the fucking weird cutout part for the asexual. I don't know what's happening.
It'd be great. It'd be great. There's one comment I want to address here in the comment section. Lawrence Paul is saying they didn't vote for Gavin regarding California. They voted against Trump. Look, I'm sorry I'm saying this later on in the podcast. It's totally fine. I don't give a shit. I don't think that that's true. And here's why. I think that that was the narrative they pushed after they won about Trumpism is dead and we don't want Trumpism and all that other shit. But Trump didn't go to rally in California. He wasn't anywhere near that. And he hasn't been president for fucking 10 months now at this point, 11, whatever it was. Like,
count the months.
10.
8.
10. January. Today's September, right?
What's 9 minus 1?
Whatever, man. I'm looking at the election was over in November, so add 2 to that.
You stupid bitch.
Nailed it. Thank you. Thank you. Smartest man on the fucking podcast.
Well, I also said that governors never win president, but they always win.
That's why we're on a podcast. Yeah. We're not on the fucking thing. Jen Psaki, by the way, actually, as you said, she would step down. She did announce she is stepping down next year to focus on more time with her children. I guess Biden is
why
not
even
one of
say
her
that
children.
Why not just say this is a very difficult job and nobody can work 18 hours a day for fucking 2 years at a time? Why not just say that? Why
you can't have that job for more than like year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, 6 to 8 months is a fucking ton for that.
Oh, dude, I remember Sarah Sanders, Huckabee. She was just like, dude, I'm fucking exhausted. Yeah. Like, this is a fucking shit.
Especially, can you imagine being Trump's press secretary?
No, dude.
I mean, it's one thing with Biden and his gaffes and the fact that they just cut his mic, though.
Yeah, but you still have to then answer for him and that shit. And like,
did you see Blinken?
Yeah.
On that, they were like, hey, I want to know who's the person with the button that's cutting off his fucking microphone. And he's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about, man. All I know is the president speaks for himself in his own words. Like, oh, God damn, dude. How many times does that dude have to either say they told me to X or just get his mic cut? Are you fucking kidding me? Joe Biden is not the fucking president of this country.
No,
let's be real.
No.
I'm not saying he didn't get elected. I'm not saying he doesn't hold the position. All I'm saying is he is not running the fucking White House.
Somebody else is behind there. There's a Geppetto out there.
Well, it's not a Geppetto. It's, I mean, the DNC, but Ronald Klain. Ron Klain is the guy who's running it. He's the chief of staff.
I think I get somebody else. I think there's somebody else back there that we don't know
maybe
about.
Maybe it's Thanos.
Could be.
You know how we thought we were fighting Loki? And then it turns out we were fighting Loki and the ice giant assholes.
Yeah.
But in reality, we were just fighting Thanos, three layers deep. That's what's happening. There's a Thanos out there. Maybe it's
me. The ice giants were in Thor 1. Loki committed the Chitauri.
Oh, the Chitauri, yes. Yeah.
Look at that, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. I just need to fact check you on that.
No, we appreciate that, Bob. Yes. Let it go, Bob. Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's not George Soros, because whomever it is wouldn't put themselves out there like that. He spent too much open money in the American political scheme at this point.
And same with the Koch brothers. So it's not anybody like that of that ilk. But
no, and it may not be. It actually may not be anybody. It may just be the confluence of the collective greed and power hunger of all these fucking elitist assholes, regardless of what their political positions are.
Yeah.
That's probably more likely than some secret cabal of people running the world government.
No.
That's unlikely to happen.
By the way, everybody in the chat is asking about the defund politicians hat you're wearing currently. Is that available on the website?
Yes.
Drinkingbros.com. Shit, all these, all the new hats are up. All the $40 hats, all the things are up there. $40 hat's a joke, obviously, from way back in the day on the show. And then the mugs, t-shirts, long sleeves are in there, long sleeve Drinking Bros shirts, sweatshirts are now in there. And then we are going to have some women's merchandise available soon, finally.
What do you mean Thanos wasn't hiding, Jessica, you dumb bitch? Of course, he wasn't hiding like he was hiding out somewhere. He was still doing stuff, but nobody on Earth knew that he was two layers deep behind the fucking attack on our world.
Was that cream pie Jessica, by the way?
Yeah, she's fucking getting cream pied right now, probably.
Damn it,
why don't you concentrate Jessica on getting cream pied and shut the fuck up?
No.
Asshole.
I bet she's the first person who gets cream pie in the new office. When
oh, probably,
in, so.
Yeah. Or yeah. It could.
We'll allow it, Jessica.
It's either her or Giorgio.
Yeah. Well.
Are you saying I'm going to receive a cream pie?
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, I can go with that.
All right. Jessica, just know this. We will give you access first. And
yeah, we'll give you the keys in the
you'll
weekend.
Be the honorary cream pie in there. Yeah. We're fine with that. So just
and
take some photos.
And it says Jessica was here.
Exactly.
Parentheses. Cream pie. Period.
Last but not least here, Facebook's lies about users' privacy. Facebook lies about users' privacy. Sorry. I was so used to saying that phrase that is that news? Are we doing that? Because water's wet also. Like, yeah, they're going to fucking lie about privacy forever, dude.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg revealed a privacy-focused vision for Facebook in 2019, citing the WhatsApp Messenger as a model for the company moving forward. WhatsApp's signature feature is an end-to-end encryption, which the company says prevents anyone but the sender and receiver from reading the messages, including the companies themselves. Zuckerberg was insistent of the privacy of messages sent over the application that during his Senate testimony in 2018, he specifically stated, "We don't see any of the content on WhatsApp." Remember that phrase. They don't see any of it. This is all private. This is all between you guys out there. But according to an article by ProPublica, it turns out those assurances were a total lie. WhatsApp has more than 1,000 employees across 3 cities worldwide who examine millions of messages sent using the application. The workers use special Facebook software to sift through private messages, images, and videos that have been reported by users and determine whether the content violates company guidelines. When a message is reported for content violations by a user, the message, along with the 4 previous messages, are encrypted and sent to moderators. The content screening goes against the internal marketing documents distributed by the company, which encourages marketers to aggressively promote the privacy of the application. WhatsApp's director of communications has claimed that the process is not content moderation, primarily because they refuse to use that term to describe it, stating, "We actually don't typically use the term for WhatsApp." So
yeah, it's like I'm holding you at gunpoint. I'm like, this is not a robbery. You're not. Oh, it's that's actually an episode. God damn it, I love this show so much. That this is an episode from Trailer Park Boys. Yeah. Ricky goes, he wants to see Rush in concert, right? And they can't get into the concert because they're poor, and they're trying to figure out a way. Apparently, there's some tunnel underground to get there, but he doesn't want to do that because it's gross or whatever the fuck. They're trying to get in there to sell dope. The other two guys don't. Ricky doesn't care about Rush. It's Bubbles that cares about it. And Julian and Ricky just want to sell dope, right? So they're trying to get into the concert. So Ricky's idea is to go kidnap Alex Lifeson, the guitarist, right? And that's what he does.
Yeah.
And he's duct taped him up completely, holding his guitar and holding him at gunpoint and saying, "I just want to be clear, this is not a kidnapping.
This is not a kidnapping."
That's what is happening right here on WhatsApp. Jesus fucking Christ, are you kidding me?
Kevin Walters is saying, "Dan, you say those that want power don't deserve it. Those who do deserve it, if they don't want it, you, sir, deserve to be a modern-day President Washington. I know you don't want to, but we can take back the country when you're in charge. You have zero desire doing that. A lot of people ask you that. That's not a...
I think that is... if you watch the show of Graham Allen yesterday, I think running for office is fucking pointless.
Yeah. So there's no, there's not one prayer that's, that Dan will be doing. But the Facebook stuff, by the way, this has been going on, what, since 2016?
14,
yeah. They've been using... all your data, everything else, everything you talk about is there. Have you seen the new news, by the way?
Now, Facebook news?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
No. Man, look, if I wanted to read cartoons, I'd go fucking read some.
So here's the weird thing. They're actually curating it from, because I thought it was them. They're actually curating like other news organizations, and I don't know what these organizations are paying, because you know, let's face it, there's a Facebook tax to get on this fucking thing, this feed. But everything we talk about on the show or Ross Patterson Revolution or American Party or whatever, wherever your phone is near, these are the news articles that then pop up on my phone underneath their news feed. Try it when you get home because it's a, if you go to the bottom of the app on mobile, it just looks like an old newspaper, which is weird because they're the ones who put print newspapers out of business. Just go there and look what those news articles are and what you talked about throughout the day. They have everything we've ever done. They know when I'm fucking my wife or taking my dog out, whatever. They know all of the things in this world. And
yeah, if you start,
so does everybody else, right?
If you get like birth control ads after you just had sex on your phone,
yeah.
That means they could hear your wife saying, come in me.
Yeah.
Right? That's what that means, probably.
I've learned a lot today.
We've all learned a lot.
Look,
today.
We're not done yet. There's a story that we skipped.
No, there was. We'll get to it. Shannon Davis is saying, hey, when's a good time to swing by the studio? I'm in town through next week. Also DM'd on IG. Love you. Mean it. Thursday. Thursday's great. Dallas is here today. He brought us some food.
Yeah.
Again, love the food, man. So, yeah, come by. Thursday's the best because it's like fake news, RPR, and then usually like a sports show or something. So we're here like all day. I wonder if we can just read off the address. Does it matter at this point?
I don't care. If somebody comes in here trying to start some trub,
that's true.
It's gonna be a problem. Well, it's not just me. Nick's here now, and now we're in Texas, right? So you can fucking anybody that isn't a felon or hasn't committed the misdemeanor of domestic violence or assault and been convicted of it.
Yeah, you can carry a gun.
You can carry a gun concealed wherever the fuck you want.
Yes.
So I recommend everyone do that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Dom Herrera used to say back in the 90s, I think everybody should have a gun and they should have them out and pointed at each other all the time. Just to keep everybody honest. And I would recommend going with two guns.
Yeah.
That way, you got two eyeballs. Why not two guns?
He's going to be here next week.
Dom Herrera's? Yeah. Man, he's old as shit.
Yes.
You know, he tried to sue David Chase for forget about it.
Sopranos.
He's like, I made that shit up. Like, Italians made it up, dude. What are you talking about? Is Cuomo going to get sued too?
No, he's, he's actually here. We were talking about it. But, yeah, that's all I got today, Dan.
There's one more story.
Good, fire away. I have nowhere to be.
According to a book released by Washington Post journalists Bob Woodward and Robert Costa.
Oh, yeah, so I was talking about this. I bet you that fucking thing is number one. While you tell the story, I'm going to look up the numbers on that book.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, who you all know, I've got a... I've got a particular disdain for this man. He promised that he would warn China in the event of an attack by the U.S. And I just want to be clear about some of this stuff before we get into the meat of this conversation. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff does not fall in any way in the chain of command of the military. He doesn't have the authority to command anybody in the Pentagon to do anything. That's not how that works. He is an advisor to the president. The end.
Mm-hmm.
There was some fucking piece of shit general that was posting on Twitter about how, oh, fucking Milley was just doing his job. Like, oh, yeah? You got appointed by Obama. Got it. anyways, during one... So he made two phone calls. So during one... And the Pentagon now... the Joint Chiefs press team essentially is saying that it wasn't a secret call. There was a bunch of people in the room. That just means a bunch more people need to go on trial for treason, to be honest. But we'll get to that here in a few minutes. During one of the two phone calls made by Milley near the end of Trump's presidency, the general told his Chinese counterpart, General Li, he says, this is a quote from Milley, according to Bob Woodward, General Li, you and I have known each other for 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. Before we get on to the rest of what may or may not have happened, if Milley said those words, right? And we're looking at a Hillary deleted email situation right here, right now, because every fucking call they make with a foreign...
It's recorded, right?
It's classified, but yeah. It's recorded and documented. If he said those words, he has committed treason. And the penalty for treason is execution. He should be killed for this.
He stood by this statement.
I don't think he's admitted to saying that he was going to warn them in advance yet, but we'll see how that all plays out. According to Butler, Milley made the phone calls without the approval of the president, and Miller, the former Pentagon acting Secretary of Defense, mm-hmm. said that he was not. Milley is trying to say that he told them in advance that everybody knew about this. Miller says, fuck no, you didn't say that. What you said was you may call some foreign leaders to assure them that we're all okay over here. But you didn't say you were going to warn China if we attacked, you stupid fuck. Anyways, right. a spokesman for Milley made a statement Wednesday defending his actions, saying the following. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs regularly communicates with chiefs of defense across the world, including Russia and China. These conversations remain vital to improving mutual understanding of U.S. national security interests, reducing tensions, providing clarity, and avoiding unintended consequences of conflict. That is absolutely correct. That is part of the Joint Chiefs' job. If he said, we're going to warn you about an inbound attack if it happens, he has committed treason and needs to be executed for that. On the same day as a second phone call with China, Milley called a meeting with top military officials in the U.S., to review the procedures for launching nuclear weapons and emphasize his role in the process. Now, again, this motherfucker is not in the chain of command, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a private in the Army and General Milley walks up to you, you salute him, for sure. He's a general. But if he tells you to do something and your sergeant is right there telling you to do something else, you obey your sergeant. That's your chain of command. Fuck this guy. Just generally speaking.
Sure.
Anyways. The meeting with military officials came as a result of a phone call with Nancy Pelosi, during which she asked Milley, quote, what precautions are available to prevent an unstable president from initiating military hostilities or from accessing launch codes and ordering a nuclear strike? Pelosi went on to say, quote, you know, Trump is crazy. He's been crazy for a long time. So the Speaker of the House conspired with the Joint Chief, who, by the way, has no say in any of this. I mean, he's got a card. He's got a nuclear card like anybody else.
Right.
But it's a two-key system
mm-hmm.
for anybody that doesn't know. So the president and the secretary of defense, or the president and the speaker of the house, the president and the secretary of state, it's got to be a cabinet-level position, right, and the president or somebody acting in his under his authority, like the vice president or somebody like that. Two keys, but it had to be two people. So what if Trump goes crazy? There's a two-key system for a reason. It exists, and you don't have to call China, motherfucker, and tell him, like, hey, just in case Trump wants to nuke you, I'll let you know ahead of time. Yeah. Treason.
Yeah.
It is called fucking treason. And this guy needs to be dragged out of his office right now and put in a holding cell until we can review those call logs. And if he said that, he needs to be executed. The end.
What do you think is going to happen with this?
What's nothing.
Nothing, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I think.
And why is that?
Because that would fucking be a win for Trump.
So anything, just so we're clear, would be a win. Like even removing Fauci and all this other shit. Like just because it's a win for Trump, we're probably not going to
do it. The Biden administration is actively defending him right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
Fucking insane.
What are you going to do?
Nothing. By the way, speaking of Bob Woodward's book here, I looked at the numbers. It was correct. It is currently number one in all books worldwide. The subcategories of Amazon are also very, very hilarious. It's number one in hoaxes and deceptions, which should only be a category for magicians, not political journalists. And then number one in United States executive government. Is there another one that's like local government? I mean, that's nice. I guess you're going to separate it. But you need to think globally and act locally, though. Okay. And then number one in public affairs and administrations books. This is like a fuck, man. I think this thing will probably looking at a million hardbacks here out the door. This guy just keeps getting richer here. Bob fucking Woodward. He's old as shit. He did Watergate.
Yeah. Deep throat.
Yeah. Yeah. He's deep throat and fucking Milley's dick. And this fucking thing. It's crazy, man. All right. Here's the, it's time for the show where we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week here. It's that points, kids. It is that points. All your submissions can be done at drinkingbros.com. There's a little drag down for the store, which you mentioned earlier. You can buy all of our lovely hats and apparel, and that goes directly to us, not to, to China or anybody else. Our merch company is actually out of Nashville. We're going there in a couple weeks. Yeah, so go there. And then underneath it, there'll be a submission for Drinking Bro of the Week. You click that, and it just goes live into our inbox. Here we go. This one was Zachary S. Klaus from Tennessee. He says he's a day one homie. He's been listening since day one. Reason for the nomination. Hey, guys, my fiance and I are getting married on Halloween this year. And I want to give her a shout on the show because she is the definition of a drinking broette. I've never had anyone in my life that has always had my back the way she does. No question, no hesitation. Whatever happens, she is always there. So if you guys could give Stephanie a shout out, I would greatly appreciate it. I love the show. And I was told I could ask Dan to do our wedding for us. I know it's a long shot, but if you guys are going to be near Crossville, Tennessee around then, it would be awesome to have you guys come and witness our vows. Love the show, and we love everything that you guys do. I don't know when the wedding is because there's not a date here.
Or where Crossville, Tennessee is.
Where is Crossville? How far is it from Nashville? We're going to the – I know we're doing a live tailgate show from the Titans game. So if you want to come on out to that and meet us, we'll be in Nashville September 26th, so 10 days from now, we will be in Nashville. If you want to come out with your with Stephanie and have some shots with us. In
2 hours.
2 hours, that's it. Ah, shit. If you're a day one homie, come on out, dude. It's Sunday. Sunday. Lazaro Lopez will be there. Everybody will be there. That'll be fun. Come on down to the Titans game. We'll be tailgating, raging. We might not be able to make it to the wedding, but we can have drinks with you in person in 10 days. That's pretty goddamn good. D'Anthony, hard to believe any of this is real, but it is. Therefore, we're here with you every single week on the fake news. And next week will be a whole new box of fuckery for you to enjoy. For D'Anthony, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Fake News. Good night, everyone.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.